Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Nastor.
Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I am so glad you decided to join me today. I'm your host, John Nastor, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a blogger, food enthusiast, and entrepreneur. Along with her husband and business partner, they've created The Pinch of Yum and Food Blogger Pro. My guest spent the last 5 years teaching elementary school by day and blogging about food by night. She always went back and forth about becoming a full-time blogger, but in June 2014, she officially made the jump to living this crazy work-for-yourself-and-talk-about-food-online dream. Now, let's hack Lindsay Ostrom. We've all heard for years that it's important to have a diversified portfolio. Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, you know, that kind of thing. But if you've ever looked at the breakdown of the most successful portfolios out there, you'll typically see a diversified set of real estate. So why isn't real estate one of the first asset classes you consider when you're looking to diversify? Simple. It just hasn't been available to investors like you and me until now, thanks to Fundrise. Here's how they do it. Fundrise is an investing platform that makes investing in high-quality, high-potential real estate as easy as investing in your favorite stock or your favorite mutual fund. So whether you're looking to add stable cash flow via dividends or prefer long-term growth through appreciation, Fundrise has you covered. And to date, Fundrise manages more than $1 billion in assets for 130,000 investors. And since 2014, the Fundrise platform has averaged 8.7 to 12.4% annual returns, and investors have earned more than $79 million in dividends alone. Start building your better portfolio today. Get started at fundrise.com/hack to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. That's fundrise.com/hack to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. Fundrise.com/hack. Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have another brilliant entrepreneur. Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. All right, Lindsay, let's just jump straight into this.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Lindsay, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Wow. Right off the bat, hit me with a hard one. I think one of the biggest things that I've done that's been, or that we've done, I guess I should say, my husband and I kind of do these businesses together. But I think one of the most important things that we've done is kind of letting go of this scarcity mentality. And I think, especially in, it's probably true across, you know, all different types of blogs and businesses and everything, but with food blogging, it's gotten increasingly competitive and there are more and more food blogs starting and, you know, people who are rising up as these kind of really, really talented people in the food space online. And it's really easy to start to be really comparative and competitive and to feel like, oh, I'm not good at as good, you know, at this particular thing as so-and-so is. So I think for me, one of the most important things that I've done to be able to kind of like move past that tension is to just get over this scarcity mindset that like there's only so many people and there's only, you know, holding tightly to this idea, like it has to be me, or I have to be the best, or I have to be, you know, I have to have the most of this, the most followers. And I think when you let go of that, it frees you up to do better work. And it's kind of this idea, like if somebody else is successful,
letting go of the scarcity mentality, and you are in, like you said, a very, very competitive sort of space. But would you think that online in these sorts of markets that you're in, I mean, a business podcast, like I've entered a super, super heated space. Do you think that there is maybe even competition as we know it or as we knew it doesn't even exist anymore?
Yeah. I mean, can you kind of explain what you mean by that a little bit more?
Like, to me, it's if somebody is going to read Pinch of Yum, they're not just going to read Pinch of Yum. They're going to read probably 20 other food blogs because they're obsessed with that.
Yeah.
People who listen to business podcasts, it's not like, well, I have my favorite. I'm never listening to another one. So when John comes out with one last year, I'm never going to listen to it. They're obsessed with it. People get really into what they're into. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's like something that we, you know, talk about a lot. And I think it's that same idea of, we always say like a rising tide lifts all ships, but just the idea that like, as we get better and as people around us get better, like the industry as a whole becomes a better place for, you know, for food bloggers and people who are doing this. And so the more people that are, like you said, like the more people that are reading blogs and the more people that are making food, you know, and trying new recipes, while in a, I guess in a one perspective, it can seem like competition from one blog or website to another. It also, though, is a good thing because it fuels people's, you know, people's interest in food, and then they're more likely to find us because that's the resource that we're providing. So I definitely think there's truth to that.
Yeah. Excellent. So you were a teacher. You were a fourth grade teacher, and you spent, I believe, 5 years teaching and then on the side or at night or on weekends blogging. Until you could finally go just this past year full time. So when was it along this journey that you sort of realized, or why was it that even when you were a teacher, what caused you to want to step outside of, like, you had gone to school, you had gone through the whole process to get a good teaching job.
Mm-hmm.
What made you want to veer off of that path and try something else?
Well, I think our story with, you know, starting Pinch of Yum and kind of like building this as a business is just so atypical, because it was never started with the intention to, you know, make it and make it into a business or like make it into something. So when I started it, I never, ever, ever had an idea like, I'm going to leave my teaching job and do this. It was kind of like, hey, I have spare time on the weekends and, you know, I like to cook dinner when I get home from work in the evenings. And so it was this natural like outpouring or kind of like putting on display of the things that I was passionate about and the things that I was doing, kind of this creative, you know, creative outlet that was served as just a hobby. And I think that like we saw that the tension build on that as, you know, I love what I was doing with teaching. I, you know, still am really passionate about education, and I just really, really felt like that was meaningful work for me. And so when the blog started to actually like become a thing that was earning money and it was a business more than just a hobby, that's when we started to feel this tension of like, okay, what do we really want to be doing? And we see this kind of like sky's the limit, you know, mentality with the blog, but I also loved what I was doing. And so it was really hard. It was really hard. There was probably like a year and a half to 2 years when the blog income had, you know, surpassed the income that I was making teaching, but it was just like too hard for me to leave teaching. I was, you know, so it wasn't just about like the starting of a business and, oh, I can't wait to leave teaching and all that. Honestly, in a million years, I never would have guessed that I would have been here. And I actually think that that's like contributed for us anyways. I know it's not for everybody. It doesn't work that way for everybody. But for us, that's contributed to the success that we've had with the business, because, you know, it's this idea of like the happiness advantage, and I'm doing work I love, and I'm just doing this blog as a hobby. It's just like a labor of love. I'm willing to work on it all the time because it feels like a hobby and it doesn't feel like something that, you know, like I'm a slave to this thing because I have to be. It was just something I really enjoyed. And that was kind of, I guess, that was the primary motivation for me and working on it for really for the first, like, I would say 3 to 4 years.
Wow. The happiness advantage.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. There's actually a book that I read that's called The Happiness Advantage. I can't remember the author off the top of my head, but really good book. Just this concept of like the importance in investing in your own happiness and, you know, keeping yourself doing the things that you love and how positively that correlates with your performance in your work and just in your life in general. So yeah, really good, really good book. I'd recommend that.
That's excellent. So you never thought you would do this as a business, yet it's not luck involved. Like, was there, or did you or your husband have experience in blogging? And if not, where did you figure this whole process out?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just trial and error. And that's actually contributed or like been a huge part of why we've ended up building the businesses the way we have. But when we started, like there weren't a lot of resources available for as far as like how do you can make a food blog into a business. And that was, and I think like my husband, he was really interested in that. That was, you know, for him, that was like in line with the happiness advantage. Like he was very interested in that, wanted to learn about that and kind of had these ideas, but I had the actual platform, like the actual blog for him to try these different things out. And so kind of together, we started working on these, trying out these things that he was hearing, not necessarily about food blogging. I mean, I think the message we heard pretty clearly about food blogging was like, you can't make this into your living. Like you can't, like this cannot be done. And so for him, you know, he's like, I don't know, I think we should try this. And then kind of through trial and error and figuring out what's worked and what hasn't worked, sharing that then has really been kind of a huge part of how we've built our businesses and saying, you know, really valuing transparency and saying, this is what works and this is what doesn't, because we know that that's valuable information for people. And we know that that's, you know, something that we can kind of anchor our business around. So, but when we started, I mean, for me, like I don't even think I knew what a blog was or like that was a thing. And it was really this marriage of like my, well, I mean, in more ways than one, because we're literally married, my husband and I, but like, you know, this marriage of my excitement about food and like my willingness to show up every day and post and like developing this platform. And then his interest in the strategy side of it in terms of building it as a business and kind of the coming together of both of those was, I feel like, you know, kind of how that process looked.
Excellent. Trial and error. You seem to keep mentioning this. So as human beings, right, as entrepreneurs, business owners, bloggers, whatever you want to call it, one of our greatest struggles is the fear of being wrong, making mistakes, and having those errors that could maybe cause our businesses to now fail.
Mm-hmm.
So Lindsay, can you walk me through how to be like, how to go through one of these errors in your business and not have it completely sideswipe you and still, so you can still move ahead like you need to?
Mm-hmm. I think that it's a really hard thing, but it's a really important mentality to have. And I feel like for me, it's not something I'm naturally good at, like overcoming these, you know, the self-doubt or whatever. That's not something like I'm naturally very good at. I think people have this perception like, well, if you're doing this, like you must be really confident and you must feel good about every single thing that you do. But that's really not the case. And I think for me, the key has been in just accepting that tension and like, and accepting, not only accepting that, but saying like everything that we do, whether successful in its performance or not successful, everything is moving us forward in some way. Even if it's wrong, even if it's a mistake, because then we're learning from that and we're able to say, you know, hey, look, that really flopped. And so now next time, you know, this is what I'm going to do differently. And I mean, it sounds so like overly simplistic, like you just learn from your mistakes kind of thing. But I heard a podcast once, I think it was on the social media marketing podcast, and it was about, you know, building a business and kind of like freeing yourself from this idea of making mistakes and how making mistakes is a good thing. And Bjork has this quote in his framed in his office, and I'm not going to remember like who it's by or anything at the moment, but it's about the award really goes to not to the person who's doing everything right, but to the person who's in the ring, like actually falling down and getting back up every time. Because even if I think this is this idea that even if you are failing, you're actually succeeding because you're doing something and you're moving forward and then you're learning from that. So for me, that's like a really hard mental shift because my nature is very like very self-critical and, you know, I'm very much a doubter and a skeptic and everything. But that's, I think that's super, super important. And I feel like as I've, you know, been in this space more and more, I think that kind of muscle in my brain has gotten stronger.
Yes, that's. I think from talking to so many people that, as your husband says, that are in the ring getting knocked down, that it's literally just a muscle that gets stronger the more you use it.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you if you thought about things that happened to you just in a given week in your business, like little failures and stumbles here and there that probably would have been so devastating three or four or five years ago just to get over mentally.
Yes.
It gets easier.
Yeah.
It really does. Yeah. That's smart. I like that. And it's great that, I mean, you have a team. Like, you guys are literally such an awesome team that I'm sure if one person gets kind of knocked down, the other one can be like, no, it's all right. Let's just keep going. It's cool.
Yeah.
We got this.
Yeah. And I think like that's a huge piece of that, you know, like the mental, you know, being able to like see a wrong as actually a good thing, or like a fail as a positive and something you can learn from. I feel like part of it is just knowing yourself. And for me, I know about myself that I'm not very good at that by myself. And so I always do better when I can talk to somebody about that, or when I can just process that somehow. Like I always, it's like, okay, give me 10 minutes to talk about it. And then I feel better about it. And so I think knowing yourself in that way, and like knowing the interesting thing is for Bjork, he's the opposite. He's like, I don't really want to talk about it. I just need to like think about this for a while and just, you know, be on my own, which works out really great in a marriage sometimes when one person, or, no, mm-hmm. It's like, it's just really good to know yourself and your strengths and weaknesses and how you process through stuff like that, because you're going to have to process through it. And so figuring out what those things are you can do to kind of make those muscles stronger is really important. And for me, it's talking to people. So that's why it's really great to have a team.
Yeah. Excellent. So let's talk projects if we can. Projects can be, it's a loose term that can mean any sort of new thing you decide to take on in your business, whether it's moving from just Pinch of Yum to also Food Blogger Pro, or writing some new ebooks, or as you said prior to the call, starting a new podcast. How is it that you, what's the process you guys go through at this point to determine what a new project is that you guys should go kind of all into and focus on?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. Okay, so right now, my husband and I together kind of run both businesses, and I kind of manage Pinch of Yum the day-to-day, and he manages Food Blogger Pro on the day-to-day, but our process is very flexible, and like we don't, I wouldn't say we have a really strong process at this point, but if we did, what it would look like, kind of our usual would be like sitting down, having a meeting, probably maybe once a month, and saying, hey, look, here are the big things that we kind of have in our mind, like big ideas for whether it be for the next year or the next 5 years, just kind of like getting all the ideas on an agenda and then working through them kind of with a timeline approach. So one of the things that that's what we just did at our most recent meeting a couple of days ago, was we kind of took all these big ideas and laid out literally, like I just took a big piece of chart paper and drew out a timeline. And then we kind of said, okay, where does it make sense for each of these things? And, or does it make sense at all? Because one of the things that you can learn really quickly, and I've definitely learned as an entrepreneur, is that you're just like drowning in opportunity. Like there's an idea around every corner, and you have all these different great plans and these great, you know, new things that you want to do, but it can become analysis paralysis where you never actually take action on any of it because you're just thinking about all the ideas. And so we really struggle with that a lot. And I think this timeline approach is really helpful to us, where when we plot out, we kind of take the most important pillar things that we feel like are in line with our business and our goals for each of the businesses, and then plot those out on a timeline and then say, hey, look, we actually don't have time for this kind of side project, and or it doesn't align with where we're going with this stuff. So that's kind of like how we take the really high level ideas and then just even get them on the map at all. And then from there, you know, there's a whole bunch of different like project management stuff that we do. And Bjork and I, like I said, we're really different. So we manage projects in different ways. But in terms of us together kind of brainstorming the big things, that's our process at this point anyways.
Drowning in opportunity, which is absolutely true. It's funny, before people get started, it's always like, what should I do? What should I start on? Where's the ideas come from? And then as your business grows, the opportunities literally just, like fill your inbox and fill everything that you possibly do.
Yes. And I think like, even if it's not opportunities from other people, it's like opportunities for your own to choose yourself to do this next project. You know, it's like, well, we want to do this video thing, and we want to do this podcast, and we want to add this thing to the blog and have this branch of the business. And there's just like, we drown ourselves in opportunity, I think, with all of the different ideas that we can start to have. And I wasn't that way, you know, to begin with. I think I've always seen Bjork as more the idea guy and like having all the ideas. But I think now, as I've been in it, the longer I'm in it, the more I feel that, and the more I feel like you know, whoa, there's so much stuff. There's so many things we want to do. And Bjork recently read the book Essentialism, which was a really good thing for us to read. And it's just about like saying no to most things to be able to really hone in on what are the big things that are most important for, you know, for your business and just for your life in general.
I agree. Essentialism is an amazing book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to end off on something I call the entrepreneurial gap. You have transformed your life and your husband's life from working, having that regular job, to literally living a dream lifestyle, whether you think so or not. But I mean, it's an enviable position that you are in. You've got to spend a year in the Philippines teaching at an orphanage and doing amazing things, right? Mm-hmm. But the entrepreneurial gap is something that us in our businesses and people with dreams and ambitions, we're always looking ahead. We're always setting goals 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years down the path. And when we hit those goals, or even before we hit those goals, we set new loftier ones further into the future. But we don't stop, turn around, and look at where we've come, what we've done, what we've accomplished. Mm-hmm. So Lindsay, could you please take this time right now for me and just stop, turn around, and look at what you have accomplished and tell me how you feel about that?
That is a really cool question. I have never really been asked a question like that before. That's so great. I feel really proud of it. I feel really proud of, you know, myself, just because I didn't start out with any interest or skills in the entrepreneurial realm. And I think I've kind of grown into this love of developing my brand and my business. And I've learned a lot of things along the way. And I think like, I feel really empowered to think that I did this. And obviously, like, we did it, my husband and I did it, but that's always been a passion for him. And it hasn't always been a thing for me. And when I look back and see like, wow, you built this and you're now working from home doing this work that you love because of this, it's really surreal. And I guess I just feel, it makes me feel empowered, honestly, when I think about it. I think like, if I can do this, and if you're listening and you're thinking, you know, some of these same thoughts, it's like, I never started out thinking of myself as an entrepreneur, never. And I was a, you know, I was a teacher and I love cooking and all of that. But wow, like there's so much that you can do as you kind of lean into your passions and make that into something that you have a platform for and that you can develop an audience and whatever that way that might look for you. It's like, I guess the message I would want to say is like, this is doable. If I can do this, this is so doable. And I feel really proud of myself for having come this far. That's a really cool question. Thank you for asking that.
Oh, thanks for answering it like that. That was awesome. And you should be really proud because it's enviable and it's really, 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 truly awesome and impressive. So Lindsay, we got to talk about you and your businesses in passing. Can you now leave the listener by telling them specifically where they can find out more about you?
Yeah. My blog is Pinch of Yum, pinchofyum.com. And then we have also a membership website that's for food bloggers or people who want to start a food blog, and that's foodbloggerpro.com. And then on social media, my favorite social media outlets are Instagram, and I'm at Pinch of Yum there. And then I also am recently on Snapchat, which I feel kind of cool about. So that's my handle there. I don't even know if you call it a handle. That's how new I am to Snapchat, but it's Snapchat and any other social channels. Or sorry, it's Pinch of Yum. It's not Snapchat. Oh my gosh, it's Pinch of Yum. And then all my other social channels are also Pinch of Yum. Wow, total dork moment.
Very cool. I will link to your sites and your Instagrams and stuff on the show notes so everyone can track you down. And thank you for sharing with us today. So Lindsay, just thank you again so much for taking the time, and please keep doing what you're doing because it truly is awesome.
Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate it.
Lindsay, thank you so much. I appreciate you joining me. I appreciate your story and just your sincerity in what you're doing. And it was really, really fun to talk to you. So Lindsay runs, like, she's gone from teacher, this job that people spend a lot of time. You go to school, you get an education, and you become a teacher. It's typically not something you then move from to become a full-time blogger. I love it. It's a brilliant story. It's, to me, that just kind of encompasses the power of the internet and the way it changes people's lives when they decide to just step up and do it. So I really just, I love the story. It's great, Lindsay. Lindsay said a lot of smart things during our conversation. We spent about 24 minutes talking and there was a lot of stuff said and a lot of smart things. Just, she really hit on a lot of just really, really smart points. But she said one thing, didn't she? She did. She said that one thing that really, really stuck out. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I think people have this perception like, well, if you're doing this, like you must be really confident and you must feel good about every single thing that you do. But that's really not the case. And I think for me, the key has been in just accepting that tension and like, and accepting, not only accepting that, but saying like everything that we do, whether successful in its performance or not successful, everything is moving us forward.
And that's the hack. Lindsay, yes, thank you. It's so true. It's this weird perception people have of entrepreneurs that we are super confident people that can just deal with all of this stuff and that we never second guess ourselves, that we never question our decisions. Yet internally, we just struggle with it all the time. And there's this tension that's always there that you need to learn to deal with. We've talked about this lots of times, but it's so essential. This is the mindset of the entrepreneur. This is the only thing that makes us an entrepreneur more so than a person who is yet to take that leap, is that we've just learned to deal with it in our heads, this constant tension. And we've learned to, I guess, make it look like from the outside that we're super confident, but we're typically not. We don't know what we're doing. We're making it up as we go. We're willing to fail. We're willing to screw up. We're willing to embarrass ourselves. Yet somehow we don't care. Although we do. It just seems like we don't care because when we do, we just kind of get knocked over. We get back up and we do it again. And it's just the way it works. But honestly, we don't know what we're doing. Trust me, we don't. We know after we do it. We don't know while we're doing it. We don't know before we're doing it. It's just the way it is. And it's just key. And I'm glad Lindsay brought that up because, yeah, we don't have this confidence that someone might think we do. It's just the dealing with the tension. And thank you, Lindsay, so much. Because, yeah, talking to you, it sounds like you're uber confident and just like you know what you're doing. You know what your next steps are. But I appreciate that you admit that there's this internal struggle all the time. And it's not just you. It's not just me. It's all of us. We all deal with it. It's being human and creating just things that put us out there and put us out in front of people. It's that exposure is always going to cause that tension. And yeah, you just got to deal with it. It's fun. It really is. It sucks at times. It keeps you up at night. Sometimes it wakes you up early in the morning, but it's fun. Well, what else do we got to do, right? So just thank you so much, Lindsay. All right. This is fun. This is always fun. Why is this always so much fun? I don't know. I'm so glad you're out there. I honestly am. And yeah, stop by the website, hacktheentrepreneur.com. If you haven't yet, even if you have, we're always sending out updates. It's a great place to be over there. Get on my newsletter, I guess, if you would like. It's great. Every Sunday afternoon, I'm sending out my work. But either way, I really appreciate you listening to the show. And I know there's so many podcasts out there. It's mind-blowing right now. And it means so much that you are there listening to me and my guests talk about the things that really get us excited and fired up. So thank you again. And have yourself a great day. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.